For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. If you're listening on your Apple device or Spotify or any of those places, you can give us a rate and review. Go and do that for us. It is much appreciated. It helps us grow and all that sort of fun stuff. Now, we know the Pelicans played today. They played the Detroit Pistons and secured, after a flogging of the Suns by the Celtics, top spot in the West. And because you can't celebrate alone, I mean, it's sad to be sitting on here alone, I have asked the great Aiden Ladocki. We've had him before in the All Aussie podcast, and he's agreed, after some arm twisting, to come back on and celebrate with me today. Aiden, how are you going, mate? Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Not sure the great is probably the word I'd look for with myself, but no, going good. Pretty happy, always happy on a Pels win. How can you not be happy on a Pels win, even though it was an ugly win? But hey, a win's a win. So, like you say, we don't look back at them at the end of the year and see how close they were. As long as it gets us into the playoffs, who cares?
Exactly right. And like you said, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. But you take that W and you put it straight in the other win columns amongst the pretty ones and the not so pretty ones. And at the end of the year, we say, well, we won 50 times or we won 40 times or however many times it is. And, you know, people are going to analyze everything. But at the end of the day, I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. So good result. The Pelicans defeating the Detroit Pistons 104-98 at the Smoothie King Center. And honestly, like you said, not a pretty game at all. The Pelicans came out slow, despite everyone asking, please come out fast. And they jumped out to an early 7-point lead. It wasn't until really the second quarter where the defense got going. And we sort of clamped them, keeping them to 15 points in that quarter. And when you do that, you can see the quality of the team. And we've got these great defenders. You got any thoughts on the defenders that we've got on this roster at the moment? We seem to have an absolute plethora of them, I guess, with a few of the guys.
Yeah, I mean, you lose Herb. And you lose Herb at the starting lineup and you're like, oh, no. You know, like how are we going to discard these star players on these other teams, you know? And after, it was especially because it was straight after the pretty much after the OKC game where he just locked up SGA and it was like, wow, okay, Herb's back, you know, but then we lose him and it's like, what are we going to do here? And then the Dyson comes in and we've seen what Dyson could do off the bench. Like, we knew what he was going to be able to do. And then he comes in and it's like, wow, this is an elite off-the-ball defender, you know. This help defense, the smartness that he can do, the way he can position himself to go, okay, you know, if Larry comes out of the paint, you know, he can position himself into the paint and then get back out at the right time. It's pretty incredible. And then the other good defender at the moment is Naji. I mean, Naji's got he has just been killing it. And to have that size and that, as they all kind of say, the dog in you, because he's got a bit of dog in him, and he showed today when he backed up Zion after after a few hard fouls. The team's come a long way, and everyone's playing defense. Really, I mean, they might not be great at it, but they're trying. They're trying to play defense, and Zion's stepping up and playing a bit of defense and showing us those Duke blocks that he was able to do back then. You know, so.
Yeah, and I think that has been the big change in, I suppose, mentality. Even from, you know, Willie Green sort of breaks the season up into 10 games, 10 games, 10 games. And you look at the first 10 and, you know, we dropped a couple that we probably should have won. I don't know, you learn from those mistakes. And then you start playing like this. And all of a sudden, longest winning streak in the league at the moment, active winning streak with 5 wins, most wins in a row for a very long time, 2017 or something, I think was the stat that they were saying in the broadcast. But I think that comes down to having that versatility in different lineups and different defenders, being able to switch. You know, we can play big, we can play small, and having everyone buy into the defensive schemes. Like you said, Zion's playing great defense at the moment. Seeing that, that college spring that you know he was renowned for. A couple of those blocks in today's game where he was just about leaping above the backboard, swatting it over from the weak side. And that just gets you up and about because we know what he can do on the offensive end. But when he unlocks that defensive nous as well, gosh, look out, because no one is safe. He is an absolute force. And yeah, so speaking of Zion, what we've seen is this complete transformation, I guess, on both ends of the floor. We knew he was an offensive force. We're now witnessing this, I suppose, resurgence on the defensive end that we knew from his college days. What is your thoughts on Zion being, particularly after, you know, those massive plays, too small, getting hacked out the air, all that sort of fun stuff? What have you seen from him?
I've seen a guy who's worked on his passing game. He's always a good passer. But I think he's definitely worked on passing it into those tight gaps a bit better, trusting his teammates a little bit more. He's not as ball dominant. He is getting off the ball quicker. He's making those decisions quicker. He's not kind of fart-assing around with the ball up the top of the key. He's kind of doing the through the leg dribble straight in. You know, he'll just make that decision. He knows. And I think there's a few times where it's just like, if I go in and the pass doesn't make it, well, doesn't make it, whatever, you know. And it's not a bad thing, you know. It's better than just sitting up there and dribbling for 17 seconds and then taking it to the hoop and nothing coming of it. So I've seen that. I've seen defensively, okay, he's not the best defender. We all know that. Yeah. But he's trying. And I think that's what you can just ask for everybody. Just try. Move your feet on defense. Get in the position, you know. Don't just stand still. Don't look away from your man. Stay in front of your man. I mean, he's just doing all of the basic things that you should be learning when you're a kid, which you would have learned, and he's doing that. And it's helping. And then when he has that confidence, and once or twice a game he can get up and go for those big blocks. I mean, why not? Just for him. Right. And he's going for him, right? He's going for him. If he's not getting him, he's not getting it. But he's up there. And it's pretty incredible when you can see him go up in height. Like, the man can fly. Those Jordans, whew, they're making him fly.
I tell you what, he looks like he floats when he gets up there. And the hang time is incredible. There's someone such as myself that just cannot get off the ground at all, have no verticality whatsoever. He is just an unbelievable athlete. And the fact that he can just sort of hang up in the air, wait for the ball and send it off into the second row. Or we saw an awesome putback today where he sort of waited for the ball just to come off the rim and then smashed it back in. And I mean, there's not many players in the league or in the world that could really get anywhere close to what he's doing on the court in game. One thing you touched on was his passing ability. And I think you hit the nail on the head. That is something that, while we knew he could do it, we didn't know he was quite as, great at finding people as he has been. We had those close to triple doubles the last couple of games. Every single time he's got that ability now that I'm going to get in there and give it a bash to see if I can get it in. If nothing opens up, there's no crease that opens up, I'll find that open man. And I think the big beneficiaries have been guys like Trey Murphy, of course, but even guys like Najee Marshall, Dyson Daniels have been shot ready. And when you've got guys like that, Jose Alvarado as well, in that big 38-point game the other day, when these guys are shot ready, they're just doing warm-up jumpers because the whole defense has collapsed onto Zion, and that gravitational pull that we talk about is on full display. And then all of a sudden, you've got these guys that career-wise probably didn't have, great three-point shooting percentages, but then you look what you were missing. You didn't have that pull that gave these guys those open looks. That's obviously excluding Trey Murphy. He's always been good, but he's gone to another level. And speaking of Trey, another 20-point game today. I think that's four 20-point games in a row, or just about close enough, averaging about 20 points over the last four games. He's taken another step as that starter in B.I.'s absence. Any thoughts or comments on Trey Murphy?
he's a star. He's a star player. He's still got a little bit of growing to do. He's still got a bit of filling out to do. Defensively, he's going to get sharper defensively. He's already one of the better defenders. He's not our best defender. He's one of the better ones. He can, obviously, I think down the line is going to be the future five probably. But I just think the range he has, that range is just crazy, and it just helps so much with opening up the floor. And then he's going to take someone soon. He's going to just take someone to that rim soon. And I feel sorry for that person, because it's just like every game, it's like that rim has just gave him the shits before he started. And then he's just like, I'm taking the anger out on this hoop. I think like today, like five rebounds, five assists, like five assists for Trey Murphy. Like, what is that? where did they even come from? Like, that's pretty amazing, because, like, you don't think of a Trey Murphy to get five assists, and he's obviously doing the right things. He's listening to Willie. He's obviously listening to the coaching staff, and he's taking it on board, and I think he's bought in as well. Everyone's buying in, and, I don't know. This guy's... He's got all-star potential. He's got MVP potential. So,
oof! There's the hot take.
He does. He really does. I mean, what he does on the court right now is he shoots like Steph Curry.
Yeah,
he's got the range of Steph Curry and Trae Young.
Mm.
You know, he can take the ball to the hoop with the best of them.
Mm.
I mean, you put the defense in there. Next minute, he's just an all-round player. You know. Like, he could probably sit there and score 30 points a game. If we didn't have Zion, he could probably do that if he was getting most of the shots. So,
yeah, that's my thoughts on him. Yeah, honestly, he has all the tools to be a fantastic player. And probably the saddest thing is that will it happen with the Pelicans? That's the disappointing thing, is that it's almost like sometimes these players that have the potential to be great can't do it because of the people in front of them. You know, as soon as Brandon Ingram comes back, Trey heads back to the bench. While all that does is bolster the reserves, you also lose that momentum that he's got playing 35 minutes a game. And I think what we have managed to see in these last few games is a guy take that step again and realize when it's his turn to go, he's going to go. And, you know, in winning time, he's there every time there's that back-breaking three that we need, that other teams have done to us so many times. He's that guy now. We saw it tonight. He hit a massive three. Killian Hayes, I think, came back and hit one straight back. But it was the exact shot that we needed at that time to just say, nope, we're going. And then Zion comes into the game. We close it out. And the rest is history. You bank that ugly win. But he's been like that the last few games. Every time you need a big shot, Trey Murphy gives it to you. And, I mean, I can't fault the kid. I think he's done a really, really good job. Dyson Daniels, 19 years old, out of Victoria. I won't hold it against him, but he has been playing fantastic. Another starter in place of Herb. Everyone's raving about him in the post games. Anytime anyone speaks about him, that he's calm, he's collected, he can control the pace of a game, he knows when to go fast, knows when to go slow, defends the living daylights out of it. What are your thoughts been on the young Australian? It's easy to cheer for when he's your countryman.
The first thing that comes to mind, it was one of the spaces, I think it was the spaces, or it might have been the boot crew guys talking there, doing their after game thing. And one of them brought up, it was just like, Dyson just came in, he just came in cold and just shot a corner three. And, you know, it's like, you don't see that many times. And in my head, I'm like, mate, he's Australian. Like, he would have came in, gave zero, you know, watts. And it would have just been like, I don't care, I'm in the corner, I'm open. And he would have just shot that. And if he missed it, and the beauty thing is, if he misses it, he's not giving up the three on the other end because he can defend it. So he knows, like, hey, if I miss this, I'm not going to be losing points down the other end if I miss this. So that's why he came in and just took it, because he can back it up on the defensive end. But defensively, yeah. All I had to see was the Lakers game. As soon as he came in and he locked up, he stole the ball from LeBron?
Yeah, he stripped it.
He stripped it from LeBron. And then I think there was a couple of plays later, LeBron tried to do it again to him. And I don't know if he forced the miss or LeBron threw it out of bounds. I can't remember that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
but that's all I need to see. And he's just done that every game since then. He's just shown that he doesn't care who you are. He's an Australian. I'm not trying to, like... boast us over here, but we don't. We honestly don't. Like, that's all we do when we play juniors over here, and now with us playing just random pick up on a Monday night, it's all about defense. So we don't care who you are, you know. Yeah. We can't shoot the ball.
Yeah.
We just play defense, and yeah, that's all. I just need to see. I seen that game, and I was like, he's just done it to LeBron, who's pretty much twice the size of him, like muscle wise. He doesn't care. So, and he's done it ever since, and it's just great. Like. Yeah, that elite help defense. We haven't had that since Drew, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And even then, he might even have Drew on the help defense part of things, because Drew was that one-on-one kind of defender. But yeah, that help defense is just, it makes defense on for us just a little bit easier, because you just know he's going to be able to do that, but then also get back out to the perimeter if they kick it back out. So he's impressed me a lot. The three's still got to come. The three ball's still got to come, and it will. It will. What do you expect? He's a young guy who played in the G League. I'm not expecting him to get 20 points a game. But coming in, get a couple assists, couple steals, make some shots, make a couple shots, which he's done every game he's played. He's made a shot or two. Some pretty nice ones too. There was a really nice layup you made the other day. It was right-handed. I think it was a right-hand layup on the left-hand side of the basket. It was
Yeah, gave him these ones.
Yeah, it was a pretty fancy layup. And he's got a bit of a bag there, but it'll come. He's only young. He's 19. It'll get there, and it won't be long before he's probably the starter as well.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly. The way, the potential of this kid, I think, is huge. And that, I think, is what makes it even more, I suppose, tantalizing, for want of a better term, is that this kid's, 6'7", 19 years old, hasn't had a full off-season yet. Still learning the ropes of the defense, has inconsistent minutes and starting to really earn them. But three games ago, or two or three games ago, Neron had a triple-double. So you're looking at this guy going, what is the limit? What's the ceiling of this guy? Because at 19, you're usually having another growth spurt at 20, 21, 22. What's he end up at? Neron 7 foot. He goes and puts, it looks like he could put on a bit of size as well. Puts 5-10 kegs on, all of a sudden you're looking at an absolute monster. Like, honestly, and that jump shot, there's nothing wrong with the form in that jump shot at all. I think he was taking two shots a game, or two threes a game, and was hitting half of them. So when that happens, well, that's elite three-point territory. But, you're not saying that he is that, but the potential is there. One thing that's really impressed me is his ability to move his feet and fight through screens. And when a big guy comes through to just nail you, he's not afraid of the contact. He's like, just let it, just bring it on. And I think playing footy growing up and things like that, you know, he's got that toughness where he's like, well, come on, body me. I'm not worried. I'll fight through it. You know, I'm not scared of a bit of contact. We saw one today where, the big Stewart come through straight into the paint, and Dyson just like let him take it on the chest. He was like, whatever, like, come through me. But, he really is tough, I think. And as a 19-year-old, you're either tough or you pretend to be tough, I think. And this kid has it in spades. He's bold, he's strong, gets rebounds like a mad thing for a point guard. Is really impressive. And I can't say enough good things about him. I think the sky's the limit, and I think we drafted a really, really good player in Dyson. The fact that he's starting, 20 games into his career is pretty impressive by any stretch of the imagination. One guy who has been, down reputationally, has been Mr. McCollum, CJ. He's coming back from the COVID. We can see that there's still lacking that lift in his jump shot. One thing he hasn't been doing is like just lofting outrageous amounts of shots, which I think some guys will try to force it. Traditional scorers will just try to keep forcing it. Instead, he's been passing the ball, 14 assists on 5 turnovers in the last 3 games, or since his return, which, I mean, that's a great assist to turnover ratio. But the jump shot has been, for want of a better term, average. Bad even. What are your thoughts on CJ? We're waiting for the resurgence. Hopefully it's soon.
It'll come. It's going to come. We know who CJ McCollum is. Like, he's not a rookie. He's been around, what is it, 9 years or something? Mm. 8 years, I think. Like, we know what he is. And you can see, like, COVID's hit him pretty bad from what I've seen anyway on Twitter and whatnot, and not only that, but when he was on with on the Hoop Collective, and on his his own podcast as well, they did a thingy midge, but he said, like, he's doing so much stuff because of these other I'm not going to name the players because we don't really need to talk about them on this podcast, but there's been a little bit of crap going on in the NBA that obviously when he's the Association president, he has to deal with. And, you know, he's saying at half times, he's sending emails and all that kind of stuff. So I think once the NBA kind of, you know, we get to that 30 game mark and start getting into the rhythm of things and all that kind of stuff and get off his back a little bit. And then, you know, moving to the new city as well. I don't think he moved completely when he got traded last year. I'm pretty sure. They'll still back and forth, you know, and he's got the baby as well, and I've only got a 1-year-old now too, so it's very easy to know what he's going through over night time and stuff. And even if he's not doing a lot of the father duties and stuff, it's still going to be playing on his mind, like he's making his partner do a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, COVID, and you start adding it all up and you're like, yeah, there's a few things probably on his mind at the moment. And he's still helping the team, and he's still making plays to help the team win.
Yeah,
it's just his jump shot isn't falling, and he, like you said, he has stopped taking so many shots. I do have a conspiracy of why he started the season taking so many shots. I think I've mentioned it in the group chat about maybe that was the whole reconditioning of, or like returning to play scheme for Zion and Brendan Ingram after their off-season surgeries or whatever.
Yeah, could be rewarding.
You know, instead of doing the Clippers land and having Kawhi Leonard play one game every month, which is riveting for their season ticket holders, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think they could have just said to CJ, can you just take a bit of the brunt of the load? You know, I'm sure that might not be the right thing. I'm just a random dude from Australia just making shit up as I'm working. But
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Just making it seem a bit easier on ourselves. But at the same time, too, like, Zion wasn't there last year, you know. And, you know, CJ was, and he's kind of helped us get to the playoffs last year. And that was a pretty big thing, you know. We could have just been in the lottery with the rest of them. But no, we made it there because of CJ. We can't forget that. You know, if CJ doesn't come, we most likely don't make the playoffs last year. And we're still, even though we could be today, like we are today, the first seed, if we didn't make the playoffs last year, all off season, it would have been the same narrative, you know.
Yep.
The whole Zion trade, get him out of there, he doesn't want to be there, he's unhappy. But no, CJ pulled us out of that rut. He helped change the narrative, and he still is. He still is changing the narrative. He's got a national podcast. He's still going on NBA Today. I just want to... I understand the frustrations with him, but I think we could probably cut him a little bit of slack for a little bit longer. I think he's probably earned that, personally. But I can understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, I think, honestly, you've hit the nail on the head on a lot of, I suppose, points in this. You know, not only has he had to move to a new city, he's had the baby was like a month old when he got traded, like some crazy young age. He's then had to leave that. He's a Players Association president. He's dealing with some absolute characters, for I'm going to put in quotation marks, characters around the league who are causing him headaches, to say the least. You know, you're doing that. He played every game up until getting COVID, where, you know, B.I. and Zion were in and out with different injuries, different guys were out at different times. Gets COVID, then has to come back from that while still moving his family to the city. You know, still doing all the press stuff as well. And then that charity that he does with the kids, that press pass that we saw, he brings all the kids in to learn how to be journalists. I mean, all this stuff doesn't just happen. He's got the winery, probably not as involved in that as, you know, the actual winemakers, but, you know, he's the face of that. There's so many plates in the air, and then your shot stops falling, and you're sitting there going, I just want to do my actual job, the one that everyone sees day to day, on top of everything else. And if you're copying criticism from that, no doubt it weighs on your mind that, hang on, I need to perform here because that's what I've been brought here to do. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's CJ McCollum. We know what he is. We know what we brought him in for. We're a better team when he plays well. And, you know, Willie Green said in the post game, he said, you know, we're not worried about CJ. He knows who he is. We know who he is and what he can do. So when you have your coach unequivocally saying no dramas, well, it's got to give you confidence. And as fans, we need to sit there and go, well, while it's frustrating, we aren't losing with him playing like this. He's not a double agent in that he's throwing games away. He's actively not. We're winning. So all it does is... Well, yeah. Exactly. You know, we've had some absolute stinkers for years, and now we're getting good players, and we're like, well, be better. And while I'm sure he's also saying to himself, I've got to be better. So I'm with you. I mean, I've hammered him throughout the journey and said, look, you've got to be better. But when you put things into perspective and context of the greater thing, at the end of the day, these guys are people. While they get paid a shit ton of money to play basketball, they're still people like anyone else. And they get the day-to-day stresses like anyone else does. So we just want him to be good. We want him to be great. And I think, you know, we're unstoppable when he, B.I. and Zion play together. Brandon Ingram, we haven't touched on. We haven't seen him. He's been a man missing with the crooked toe. Saw him putting shots up before the game, apparently. So maybe he comes back for these Suns games. Don't know whether it's a Friday or the Sunday, but it'd be great to have him back. Do you think I suppose he's chomping at the bit, but what do you think he will bring? I know we've seen what he can do, but what do you think he does to this team when he comes back? Do we just keep going up and up, or do you think there's going to be a bit of a teething period, a bit of re-assimilation?
Well, you weren't in the spaces this afternoon, were you?
No. Nah.
Yeah, so I don't think Rocky would care if I break the news here, but apparently Rocky was told by Brendan himself that he's not playing Friday, he's going to be playing Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is fair.
There you go.
Right, give him a couple of days, and that could all change as well. You know, you might have a medical miracle overnight, you never know. But
get some ice on it.
Yeah, that's it. So if he comes back Sunday, I think he's smart enough. I think if there was anybody on this team who's happy to take a step back, I think it would be Brendan, because he doesn't need the ball all the time to get his. You know, he's really, like, there's a reason why he's worked on his catch and shoot three, is because of this reason, and he's knocking them down. Like,
yeah,
he's knocking them out of the park this year. He's more than happy to take a step back. I think out of the two, obviously him and Zion, I think he'd be the more inclined to do so. But he showed. I think it was the game before he got injured, or what, I can't remember what one it was. Zion went for 34 points or something like that. I think, did Brendan have double-digit assists that game?
Oh, he could very well have. It would have been close.
There was a game that he took his first field goal with a minute to go in the second quarter.
That's
or
right, yeah.
He just splashed a mid-range jumper, and it was like, yeah. See, he doesn't care. Like, he's just like, whatever, as long as we're winning, because he just wants to win. He wants to win basketball games. He's not there for his... I'm sure they're all there for some sort of accolades, but I think he's shown the world last year what he can do, and I think his biggest picture is get me to the playoffs and let me cook in the playoffs, because that's where he will shine in the playoffs. He is a playoffs player.
Absolutely. And I mean, like Zion said after the game, he says, I have so much respect for Zion, for Brandon. You know, I love playing with him. He was so proud of what he saw, you know, last year, where he had to carry the team himself without Zion for the whole season, and CJ only at the end. I think great players like to play together, and they just know how to play together. You know, there was this, one of the interviews Zion gave, he said, you know, you get to the end of the game and B.I. looks at Zion, he says, oh, I better get this done now. You know, they just finish games off. Those great players step up in those moments. And the playoffs, it's the biggest microscope in basketball. You know, you're under there, that's a pressure cooker. And you saw what he did. He took his game to another level. You add Zion to that, where all of a sudden he's not getting double teamed every single game or every single possession. I mean, he's probably going to have the easiest season of his life this year. So looking forward to seeing him return. And like you said, well, if he's back Sunday, we're happy with that. And he can take the Suns on the second night of the back-to-back. So, second night of the weird schedule that we've got. Yeah, we've played Suns three times in a week or something. But I don't know.
So they do that for all the other teams to make it easy for them. So I was like, oh, here you go, Phoenix. You can
find
New Orleans and just stay around there for a bit. Yeah. But nah.
Beautiful time.
You can go over to LA for 3 weeks and not sleep in your bed for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And play two games in those 3 weeks. They're like, oh, but we gave you a rest. You're like, yeah, cheers. But you made us play the Lakers and Clippers eight days apart. So bizarre.
That was there.
It was, I don't know. It's always the way, but... Alas, we sit atop the Western Conference, which I'm stoked about, honestly. I mean, while it might be short-lived, and perhaps, you know, it's so close in the West, you know, teams fluctuating up and down, Grizzlies look great, Suns a bit up and down, but they're still a good side. Warriors seem to hang around a bit. The Kings have been playing out of their minds for the most part. Jazz just... I don't even know what the Jazz are. The Jazz are meant to be tanking, but they're still sixth. Dallas is a good team. There's so many great teams in the West, and Nuggets is another one, despite the slapping we gave them. It is going to be a tight race, but, I mean, I'm going to hot take you. It's probably not a hot take at this point. I think we're as good as any team, and I suppose the record says that, but in the playoffs. I think we could go right to the Western Conference Finals, if not the finals. I honestly am not, I'm not scared of any team from what I've seen. I think the versatility, the length, the scoring, the defense has been unbelievable. We keep that going. It's the East that I'm scared of, and we'll see them at the end. So, have you got any thoughts on that? Do you think we're a contender? Who is it? It's a, the C word is nerve-wracking to say, but do you think?
Yeah. We got the first seed.
Yeah.
We got the, you know, I know it's only early in the season, but, you know, we got there. It was 16-8.
Mm.
You know, they're starting to separate a little bit, you know. We've got a little bit of separation now with, I know there's three teams on 16 wins, yeah. But, you know, down to the sixth seed, you know, we've got two games or whatever there. You know, it's starting to level out a bit. We can. I know we've had a few easy teams, but we have versed some harder teams, and you know we got beat by Boston. Okay, fair enough, but it wasn't that much. You know, we had a terrible game. We played terribly, but we didn't get completely blown out. You know, we kept it within reason, and that was with us having a terrible game. I think no one in the West scares me.
No.
It is just Boston and Milwaukee, because I don't know what to do with Tatum, and I don't know what to do with Giannis, because they're freaks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Greek freak. He's nuts. He's crazy. But no one in the West really scares me. Just looking at it now, going through it, I think Phoenix. We know what Phoenix are going to offer us.
Mm.
We can, you know. Memphis, kind of, because, I don't know, something about Jar and versus the Pelicans, he just gets that little bit of extra step.
He does, doesn't he? He's got that chip on his shoulder about not being number one.
The refs just seem to blow that whistle every time he grabs the ball. But Denver's never scared me. We've always taken care of Denver. I don't know what it is. We've just had a really good matchup against Denver. I kind of actually hope we get Denver in the playoffs, because as good as Jokic is, I just don't know what it is. But even last year, I think we had an overtime game last year, and then that game where Herb took over in the fourth quarter and
just
obliterated them. Utah's not staying. Come on.
Yeah.
Sacramento, they're just going to be happy to get to the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Darren Fox will be able to keep up this hot streak that he's got going. You know, he's probably going to cool off a little bit. And the only other one's Luka.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to... Luka.
He's crazy. There's
nobody on there to help him. So, like, obviously, the trade deadline's going to make a big difference.
Mm.
But for now, you know, we've got this little hard little stretch to come. But, yeah, I think we can come out of that with a few wins and keep on kicking along, and yeah, I don't know. I think we can definitely make the conference finals. Can we make the finals? It'll all depend on health, I think.
Yeah, it's the asterisk above every team almost, but for us, I think it hits hard, or hits harder, I guess, just given the history of the team, and you know, I suppose the narrative that goes around that, you know, they can't stay healthy, and so far we're sort of living up to that, and hopefully we can get rid of those silly injuries at the moment and have those, like, ones that last a week or three, four games, have them all now, and then we don't have to have them at the end of the year. And I think a lot of these ones, guys would play through. I think at the moment it's like, get yourselves right, we've got a decent schedule, we're playing really well, and if you're a little bit sore or you're at 80%, let's get you to 95 to 100 now, because we don't want you to carry it all season. Whereas I think a lot of teams will say, well, guys will just play through it and be like, yep, no worries. And then you'll see them break down in January, February, March, right when you really need them. So while it's frustrating to not see all your favourite players out there, it's also good to see that player welfare, I suppose, is paramount for this team, and longevity. You know, these guys are all, what, 23, 24, 25? They're all locked up on long-term deals. Let's not ruin them now. Let's keep them for that sustained success, which I'm looking forward to. So all in all, 16-8, top of the West, good win against Detroit. Aiden, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today. It's been great chatting with you. I appreciate you coming on. Can you give us a little shout out as to where you're going, where we can find you, what's going on, and anything else you'd like to, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Final thoughts. I think we covered it pretty well, didn't we? I mean, it's a good time to be a Pelicans fan.
Tell you what.
You got the Superdome across the street. Plenty of seats in the Smoothie King Center at the moment. And that's, it's hard for me to say. I'm a Saints fan as well, right? It's a terrible season for the Saints. Mm. But, you know, if some of those guys want to, or guys and girls, I should say, us Aussies just kind of relate to all of it as guys, I guess.
Lump everyone in together.
Yeah, as everyone's just in together on the same thing. But plenty of seats over in the Smoothie King Center that I'm sure the Pelicans would appreciate the fans coming in. But that's about it for final thoughts. But you can find me at Doc's Cards on Twitter and Doc's Cards on Instagram. Bit of a card collector, so Twitter's not too... I don't do too much on Twitter. I kind of... I think the Pelicans have enough pretty good local fans who can do a better job than some random Australian fellow. But anyway, I'll leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, as a fellow random Australian, I'll just try to hold my own on there. And I'll tell you what, we don't use Twitter down here much at all. It is all New Orleans followers that I have. So to all those people out there, continue to listen and we'll continue to hold it down for the Aussies over here. Aiden, thank you very much for joining us. It's been absolutely fantastic chatting to you. As always, we'll be back in the group chat talking shit, no doubt, straight after this. But everyone out there, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithin, mate, joined by Aiden Ladocki today. Follow us on Twitter at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithin Bank. Stay safe, and of course, bye for now.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.